Man, it's so nice to have such an encouraging pastor. An encouraging body. My phone is filled up this morning, and the one message I've gotten the entire time is, hey, don't suck. So we'll see how this goes. I grew up in a small town in Missouri, and I loved every year, once a year, the fair would come into town. All right, it wasn't like Oklahoma State Fair, like it was not that big. It was a small town, 5,000 people. But every year, the fair would roll in, and they set up rides and games, and so my parents would drop us off with our friends. We'd run around all night, and then we would eventually make our way to the fun house. You guys remember the fun house with the house of mirrors? You walk through, and it's just ridiculous. Right, you walk up to these mirrors, and you look at one, and you're like super tall and thin. You walk to the next one, and you're like this short, round, fat thing. But all these mirrors just make you look absurd. But it's fun. It's goofy. It's silly. And for some reason, that was like an hour of entertainment in the house of mirrors. But we knew it was fun, and it was funny because we knew that wasn't who we were. Like, we knew when we looked in that mirror, that's not our true identity. That was a distorted version of us. And we could leave in confidence knowing I don't actually look that ridiculous. It was okay. The question I've been battling over the past few months is, who do we see today when we look in the mirror? When you looked in the mirror this morning getting ready, who did you see? How do you see yourself? Some of us look in the mirror, we're in great shape, but we beat ourselves up. I need to lose another 20 or 30. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. Why can't I get healthy? Why isn't it working, right? We're seeing shame, and we're seeing pain, and we're seeing regret. Some of us look in the mirror. We're overweight. We're out of shape. But we see a high school or college version of ourselves. We're like, oh, I've still got it. I can absolutely throw a football over that mountain. And we're filled with pride and with ego. Right? The reality is that today, when I look in the mirror, and as I lead into this message, know that if any of it feels critical toward you, it's not. It's critical at me. This is what I've been wrestling with over the past few months that I'm trying to figure out, and hopefully it's helpful. But I think when we look in the mirror today, we still don't see the true version of ourselves. We see a distorted version of our identity, and that's impacting how we change the world. That's impacting our witness for Christ. Because I get frustrated at my own life when I wonder, why isn't Jesus doing crazy things through me? Like, why aren't we seeing massive movements of God? Why are we actually losing influence in the world as Christians? And I think it's because we're not living out of our true identity. We're living out of this false version of ourselves. And how we believe in ourselves, how we believe in God, shapes our actions. Our mindset shapes our actions, and that shapes our reality. But today, when we look in the mirror, typically we start to play the comparison game. Right? I'm not good enough. I don't have what they have. I'll never be who they are. Or it's, I'm better than them. I'm more deserving than them. And comparison always leads to either pride or some version of shame. It never leads to joy. Right? Comparison doesn't put us in a good place. And so some of us, we look in that mirror and we see the pain of our past. We see our sin. We see our failures. We see all the times that we think we've fallen short in the eyes of God. And so we live that identity. We live this insecure, fear-based identity that doesn't draw people in. In fact, it pushes people away. Because we're called to be joyful. We're called to be confident. We're called to be saints. But we believe these negative messages about ourselves. And some of us, it's not that we see the shame of what we've done. We see the shame of what people have said about us. At some point, someone spoke a lie over you that you believed. And that has shaped your identity. I had a great conversation with Lance Humphreys this week. And he said, several years ago, I think it was back maybe out of college, in college, he felt this word from Satan saying, you hurt people. That's who you are. You hurt people. If you've spent more than 5 minutes with Lance, Lance does not hurt people. He gives life to people. He encourages people. Like, we share an office together, and there's 6 or 7 of us in there, and both companies kind of keep growing, and I've just made it very clear, like, wherever we go, Lance is coming with us. I need Lance in my life because he gives life to everyone around him. He said, but that's the lie that I believed. Whatever lie you're believing is probably the exact opposite of who God says you are. All right? The enemy told him he hurts people. God says, no, you give life to people. The enemy says, you're not creative. You'll never be good enough. God says, no, you're incredibly creative. We're supposed to live out of our identity. If there's a negative thought that we have about ourselves, that's not from God. However you beat yourself up and tear yourself down, whether it's your looks, whether it's your career, whether it's your family, whether it's your money, whatever it is, that's not from God. He's not going to speak negativity over you. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your doubt, in the midst of your shame, he will speak truth over you. He will speak restoration over you. He will speak your actual identity over you. I love this verse. I believe it's Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to listen to the words that God says. This is who we actually are. It says, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. We are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. For he chose us in him. We are chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. You are holy and blameless. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus. We are predestined. We are adopted according to his will and favor, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us with in the beloved. We have redemption in him. We are redeemed through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses, we are forgiven according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. That's who God says we are. Not failures, not ugly, not broken, not ashamed. Like that's who God says we are. I love the story of Peter. I was reading about it in John Tyson's latest book on identity and this battle for comparison. And of course, we remember Peter, right? He denied Jesus 3 times. And then he bails. He's out. He's ashamed. He's afraid. And so he runs back to his former identity as a fisherman. When we're ashamed, when we're afraid, we tend to go back to our old ways. We tend to go back to our old identity. So Jesus is crucified, comes back from the dead. He's got a limited amount of time on earth. And what does he do? He runs to find Peter. He's got work to do. He runs to find Peter on the beach. And it's not Peter, you idiot. You remember how stupid you were when you denied me? I told you it would happen. I told you you were going to screw up. No, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? He's like, of course. He's like, no, do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than your work? Do you love me more than your worldly identity? He's like, of course I do. Then go take care of my people. Go take care of my sheep. You're a shepherd. That's who you are. Get out of this false identity. Go live into who I called you to be. So in the midst of our pain and suffering, Jesus reminds us of who we are in him. For some of us, again, it's not that fear and shame and insecurity. It's pride. I've got it. I've got it under control. I've got everything I need. I don't need you, God. I can wake up today and start a business. I can wake up today and make money. I can wake up today and build something. I can wake up today and do anything I want. Of course you love me. Look at what I can do. Look at what I have done. None of us want to acknowledge that, but I wake up with that every day. I wake up with either fear or pride, right? Insecurity or pride. We kind of go through both ends of this spectrum. And it's really a control thing. God, I don't need you because I've got all of this. So we're living out of pride. We're finding our identity in our work. We're finding our identity in the neighborhood we live in the car we drive, in the title at our job, in the school we send our kids to. I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm saying that shouldn't be the lens through which we make our decisions. Our decisions should be, what does God want of us? Work hard, yes. Get promotions, sure. But how are we using that for the kingdom? How are we shaping our identity in those ways? And part of that is the problem with our culture, right? We live in a very narcissistic culture where you're told to do your own thing, go your own way, be a self-made man, which is just a lie in and of itself. You're not a self-made person. Even if you're a solopreneur, you're only successful because of community and the talents that God gave you because you grew up in the right place with the right people. There's a narcissism score. I read a study recently that it's risen 30% in the last 20 years. We love us some us. And it's easy to blame social media for that. That's not social media's fault. I spend way too much time on social media. I work in social media some of the time. Social media just reveals who we already are. It's not making us any more narcissistic. We were already narcissistic. We were already a broken people. That's just amplifying it. Pride's always been something that I've wrestled with, and the phrase or verse that kind of stopped me in my tracks, this was a few years ago. I couldn't even tell you what verse it is, probably multiple times, but there's a verse that said, God opposes the proud. That's a smack to the face. I don't want God to oppose me. That's a losing battle. God opposes the proud. If I have anything, it's because he's given me everything. I read a quote that said, 95% of what you have in your life is fully out of your control. So when ego and pride starts to build up, you didn't control the family you were born into. You didn't control the city you were born in, the country you were born in, the education you were allowed to get, the network and resources that your family had that allowed you to get an internship or to get a job or to get into a school or to be in a church like this that has networks and resources. You did none of that. God is just good. And if you had none of that, he's still good. We have no reason to be boastful. I think when we find our identity in the world, we're living lives that make sense to the world. And we're not called to live lives that make sense. We're called to be different. We're called to run a different race, to pursue a different path. That only comes when we're living in our identity. When we look in the mirror and see a distorted view of ourselves, it leads to comparison, and we can't be happy for others, and we can't be happy for ourselves. We can't be present, we can't connect, and we lose our effectiveness. Why are we not seeing massive movements of Jesus? Because we're not living as Jesus. It's the result, not to be critical of the church big C, but it's the result of generations of the church trying to get people to accept Jesus, not emulate Jesus. Accepting Jesus doesn't, that's great, that's easy. We're called to try to be Jesus. In John 14:12, Jesus says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Jesus says, his words, we are going to do greater works than he did. I don't know if I believe that, if I'm honest. I want to. I desperately want to believe that. But Jesus raised people from the dead. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. Where are we raising? Where are we healing? Where are we casting out? Why aren't we doing that? Why am I not doing that? Because I'm not living out of who Jesus says I am. We're not giving the world a good alternative. When the world looks at our lives, they're saying, that's great, I have all that, and I don't have to wake up early on Sunday. What's different about you and me? If this Jesus guy is really who you says he is, why aren't you doing what he did? Why aren't things different for you? Why aren't you making decisions that people don't understand? And we can justify our decisions because they're reasonable. By what standard? The world's? Well, if we invest here, we'll grow this much. Maybe, and it's not a bad thing, but is that what Jesus wants? Is that who Jesus calls us to be? So how do we actually get to this place of living out our true identity, living out who Jesus says that we are? How do we not make a decision to get into heaven? How do we make a decision to bring heaven to earth? Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to bring heaven everywhere we go. We're called to be light. We're called to be different. We're called to bring health to the world. I think it starts with what Lance talked about a few weeks ago. It's how we view God, first off. How do you see God? Do you see him as this guy raining down judgment? Do you see him as distant? Do you see him as ashamed of you? Or do you truly see that the Father himself loves you? 100%. God can't love you anymore. He can't love you any less. Whatever you did last week, he still loves you 100%. And he doesn't love you less than someone else. We're all number one to God. He loves all of us 100%. That's not going to change. Do we see him as a good father? Do we see him as courageous, outrageous, reckless, ridiculously in love with us? Do we know that he is 100% for us? He knows everything about us and is 100% for us. We're stuck in the past, and he's already declared what our future is. Why aren't we running toward that? Why aren't we bringing that to reality? So it starts with how we see God, because if we can see God clearly, we can start to see ourselves clearly. And I think with that, it starts in our homes, in our community. How do we speak to our spouse? How do I speak to my kids? How do I speak to my friends? Are we calling people up to who Jesus created them to be? Are we just joking around, making fun of each other? And that's how you know you're in. Oh, if he makes fun of you, that means he likes you. It's like, no, what if we got past all that and called people up to who Jesus says they are? We do a thing with our missional community every year. We've done it now for 2, maybe 3 years. My favorite night of the year. At the end of missional community season, we gather around a table outside, kick all the kids out, because there's like 800 just in our missional community. That's what we're good at Skyline. Our identity is making kids. It's a different conversation. Sorry, Jonathan. So we get all the kids out. We gather around the table, and we call it a salute dinner. And we do it because this is what we do in our business, what we do with our clients, our employees. But we get our friends around a table, and over food and drink, we just share what we love about each other. We just call people up to who they actually are. You know, it's Blair, I love how you challenge our perspective. I love the way you see things. We're better because you're in our group. Thank you for who you are. Amy, thank you for the joy that you bring our group. Thank you for how you love people. Thank you for how you rally around people, for how you give yourself away. Man, that's amazing. Like we just go around like to every person, this is who you are. This is how I see you, and this is how God made you. And there's a few tears. I don't cry very much, so I'm not one of those people. I'm just kidding. I can watch a commercial for Big Brother like I'm on the floor weeping. It's a miracle I haven't cried so far yet. So far yet, that's not good English. That's why I'll cry. But it's this amazing moment of just God moving and the Spirit falling on us and saying, this is what kingdom looks like. Here's my only problem with that night, is it's super easy to do that with my people. It's easy to do that with people who already know Jesus. When was the last time we did that for someone who doesn't know Jesus? Who's sitting across from us in a meeting, and we're saying, hey, I know we're talking about this next business deal, and this may seem really weird, but for some reason, like, I'm getting a picture of a red ball in my brain. And for some reason, that red ball is significant to them that only they know about, and God has very clearly spoken in that moment, and they're just broken. They're like, wait a minute, how do you know about that? Hey, I know that you're stressed about this, and I don't even know the situation, but I feel like God's telling me to tell you, it's good, you're enough. Like, how are we bringing that life to people who don't know Jesus? And we're not going to do that if we don't know who we are in Jesus. We can't give what we don't possess. If we're going to free people, we have to be fully freed. So I think it starts in our community, but really it starts in our own minds. We're in a deep, desperate battle for our minds. And the world is fighting as hard as it possibly can. The enemy is fighting as hard as he possibly can to win the battle of your mind, to tell you you're not okay, to tell you you're not good enough, to tell you you're not loved, to tell you you're not lovable, to tell you that you need more, that you need better, that you need bigger. And so we strive and we strive and we strive and we strive, and we always feel like there's something missing. Because Jesus, if you're like me, typically gets the last part of our day. And I can say, no, I love Jesus. I love singing songs about Jesus. Well, if he is who I say he is, why don't I spend time with him? We spend our time on things that we value. You can say you value Jesus. I can say I value Jesus, but if he gets 10 minutes of my day, that's how valuable he is to me. So how do we do that practically? How I'm trying to do that, I'm certainly not going to act like I have this mastered, I have an identity verse, not an identity verse, an identity statement. I prayed about, wrote down, it's in the notes app on my iPhone. Every morning, I wake up, I go downstairs, I make coffee, I sit with my boys, they watch SportsCenter. If you want to know what's going on with the Thunder or anything else in sports, by the way, go talk to Gabe. He knows exactly how Carmelo's contract situation breaks down. I'm like, dude, I don't even know what's happening. But so but they sit on the couch, they drink their milk, eat their cereal. By the way, what happened? Like when I was a kid, I would put cereal into a bowl and pour milk into it. That seems normal. My kids just have a cup of milk and a cup of cereal and they drink and they eat. Like when did this change? Is that normal? Are they monsters? I'm not sure. Regardless, they sit on the couch, they drink their milk, they eat their cereal, they get their SportsCenter updates. And I read the Bible, and then I read my identity statement. This is who I am. This is who God says I am. This is what I'm on this planet to do, and it's not to be a good businessman. It's not to build a multi-million dollar scalable business. Great if I do. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm here for. But I read through my identity. Some days, that one read through is enough. Some days, it's 10 times a day. Depending on how much that fear and that insecurity starts to build up, that how much that pride starts to build up. No, I need to go be recentered on who I actually am. I love Graham Cook calls it an inheritance word. Sit down and pray with God, like, God, what's a word you have for what my identity is? What's my inheritance in you? And reminding yourself of that over and over and over again. Once is not going to be good enough. I don't get to go run and then call myself a runner. I'm not suddenly great at running. I have to keep doing it day after day and build those habits to build the strength of that identity. I think it comes from sitting in every meeting, in every interaction, before you go into it, asking, God, what do you want to say here? Because I love to talk. If you know me, you know I like to talk. I'm terrible at listening. I'm trying to work on it. And it's not good because part of my business is sitting one-on-one with leaders and like walking through some of their stuff. That requires listening. So to get better at it, I just sit and I'm trying to listen to what they say, but in my head the whole time I'm just saying, shut up, Kevin, shut up, Kevin, shut up, Kevin, shut up, Kevin. Don't screw this up. But I'm saying, God, what do you want for this person? I can probably figure out their business issue. What do you really want to say to them? Because you love them as more than a quote-unquote leader. You love them as more than a coach. You love them as more than an athletic director. What do you want for them in this moment? And then I try to be not too scared to actually say it. Because I'm like, man, what if I say it? And they're like, you're weird. Yes, I am. Welcome to the party. I'm extremely weird. We're just getting started. You have no idea. Like, I have nothing to lose. One of the things we ask leaders, and I think this takes every leader out, it's three questions. What are you trying to prove? What are you afraid of losing? What are you trying to hide? And how does that shape your identity in God? You have nothing to prove to God. He's given you everything. He's already said you're good enough. You have nothing to lose. He's not taking away his love. Not going anywhere. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, he's sitting there. You have nothing to hide. He knows everything, and he still said that you're good enough. Let's walk forward with secure, humble confidence in who we are. Let's recognize the tendencies that we have. Another tool that we use, and it comes from Romans 12. We are becoming conformed to the world instead of consistently transforming ourselves. We all have negative tendencies that pop up in how we see ourselves. We have to recognize those and choose life. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. No, that's a lie. My tendency is to go to a really negative place, and that creates a negative reality for me and everyone around me. Now I need to choose life. I need to choose truth. I need to choose my real identity. We have to make a choice to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and that we are who he says that we are. Let the band come up. And I'm going to read some things of who God says we actually are. My challenge to you today, my challenge to me today, There's a great quote from Erwin McManus in his book, The Last Arrow. So the most spiritual thing you can do today is choose. Every choice has an impact on your future. Who we decide to be is the reality we decide to create. Our call is to bring kingdom to earth. So I'm going to read over these things. The band's going to start playing. And we're just going to open up the floor. If you're living a lie, if you're believing a lie, come down here and let's fight it out. Let's wrestle with God. Let's get it taken care of. If you need to be reminded of who you are, let's come sort it out. I desperately want to see like a crazy, unexplainable movement of God. And that doesn't come from us living safe lives that make sense out of the world's identity. It comes from us being free. It comes from us living out of the truth of who we are. So we're going to have people who will be down here to pray with you if you need prayer, who will cry with you if you need someone to cry. Whatever you need, we'll be down here for you. Just a time of ministry for the Holy Spirit to move on us. So as the band starts to play, I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to read over you, read over me, read over us who God says that you are. And again, the most spiritual thing you can do today is choose. Let's choose to believe that God is who he says he is and that we are who he says we are. So who are we? Who are you? God says that you are loved. You cannot be loved more. You cannot be loved less. You are crowned with glory and honor. You are made in his image. You are a royal priesthood. You are anointed. You are beloved. You are blessed. You are free. You are a temple of God. You are lacking absolutely nothing. You are not dead. You are alive in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. You are worth dying for. You are worth dying for. You are free from condemnation. You are a servant of God. You are born again. You are an inheritor of heaven. You are adopted. You are a witness. You are an heir of God. You are a new creation. You are a friend of Jesus. You are the apple of his eye. You are united with God. You are no longer a slave to sin, but you are alive in Christ. You are forgiven and you are free. You are a light. You are righteous. You are justified. You are secure. You are complete in Christ. You have everything you need. You are inseparable from God. He's not going anywhere. You are in Christ. You are the light of the world. You are called. You are chosen. You are a saint. You are victorious. You are a citizen of heaven. You are an ambassador for Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are God's workmanship. You are a son of the Most High King. You are a daughter of the Most High King. God, we love you. God, would you remind us of who we are and you, Holy Spirit, would you move in this place? Would you break free any shackles? Would you break free any shame? Would you break through any lies that are holding us back from becoming who you have created us to be? God, would you call us up to who we truly are? Would you hold us close? Would you give us strength? Would you give us confidence? God, you said we would do greater things than you, so would you give us the belief and the power to do that? Thank you for loving us. Thank you for deciding that we are enough. Thank you for deciding that we are worth your son's death. May we honor that by the way that we live. May we live in freedom. May we live in power. May we live in truth. Here in the power of Christ, we stand.